from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Heavy rains and high winds are pummeling the Bay Area as a so-called Pineapple Express storm hits the region. The storm is causing flooding and could bring mudslides. We'll talk about the weather with KQED science editor Paul Rogers. Then at 10:30, hummingbirds are not just marvelous little creatures that eat half their weight in sugar every day to survive. They're also aggressive fighting machines that stab, nip, and attack one another using well-honed beaks. We'll hear about new UC Berkeley research all about the aggressive side of hummingbirds, and that's coming up after the news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. An atmospheric river storm arrived last night, and it's battering the region with high winds, heavy rains, with the potential for mudslides and floods today through Friday. The rain is flooding roadways and snagging traffic, and there have been nearly 100 flight cancellations at SFO. The storm comes the same month that scientists published a new ranking system for atmospheric rivers, which rates them on a 1-5 scale, similar to how hurricanes are ranked. And we're going to talk about the storm in this segment, and we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about atmospheric rivers and the current storm? You can call us now at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. The number again, 866-733-6786. And joining me to talk about this is Paul Rogers, managing editor for KQED Science and Environment, reporter for the Mercury News. And welcome, Paul.
Thank you.
Well, this is, we should add, serious stuff. National weather sources have said that flash flooding warnings are out across the Bay Area. And we'll talk about the Bay Area. But first, let's talk about atmospheric rivers and the Pineapple Express that we have upon us, also the name of a bad movie. what do we mean by it? First of all, what is an atmospheric river?
An atmospheric river is literally a river in the sky. These are the largest rivers on Earth. And they're about 2 miles up in the air. And basically what happens is you get a really wide, about 250 miles wide, 1,000 miles long plume of moisture, often from the tropics. And when they come from Hawaii, they're called the Pineapple Express. These can be quite benign and helpful when they are modest in size, because we maybe get about a dozen of them a year in California during the winter rainy season. And they can provide, on average, up to 50% of our rainfall, just a few of these storms. However, when we get too many or they linger over the land, we see flooding, mudslides, and all sorts of other problems. And, you know, this one right now is fairly serious. We're seeing...
It's a strong one. I was reading snow in Hawaii.
Yeah, Seattle, all kinds of things like that. There was 8 inches of snow in Redding this morning. In Redding, in California. A lot of the power is out in that city. We were looking last night at predictions from the National Weather Service that the Russian River in Guerneville was going to go 1 foot above its flood stage of 32 feet. It now looks like it's going to go 6 feet above that. That would be 38 feet by Thursday evening, early Friday morning. That is... not massive flooding. I mean, the all-time record is like 49 feet, which would be another 10 or 11 feet higher, and that was in 1964. But in 2017, people might remember, there was some significant flooding in Guerneville, and the river crested there at 37 feet, which is a foot and a half lower than it's projected to go by tomorrow night. So the North Bay is getting this storm worse than we expected. We're also going to see the Napa River in Napa go about a foot above its flood stage. Lots of small creeks flooding around the North Bay. Mudslides, cars getting stuck. You know, serious stuff.
This serious stuff.
Biggest storm of the winter so far.
But the reservoirs are being filled. We've got the snowpack going up. I mean, with the bad comes the good.
Absolutely. With the bad comes the good. We will not have any kind of water shortages in California this summer. It's amazing. We started New Year's Day at 69% of the historic average for the Sierra Nevada snowpack. 69%. It wasn't looking very good. And right now it's at 129% because of all the storms of the last month. And the National Weather Service is expecting 7 feet of new snow just in the next 2 or 3 days up there at some of the higher passes. with wind gusts up to 150 miles an hour, 150 miles an hour on the top ridge lines in the Sierra. So there's too much snow in some places. I-80 is closed right now in the Sierra. There have been ski resorts that in the last couple of weeks have had to close for a couple of days to dig their lifts out. And, you know, one of the concerns with this storm has been if warm water hits a lot of that snow, that could melt some of it and cause flooding. But right now, you know, reservoirs all over the state are above their historic average, and we've got plenty of water. We need a little bit of break next week.
Also, when you have there's a concern about you got waterlogged soil, you got many square miles that have been scorched by fire, you got a thick mountain snowpack. These are all the elements for nasty flooding.
Absolutely. As we saw a couple of years ago down in the Santa Barbara area, when you have an area that burns and then you get a very intense rainfall on top of it, you get these big debris flows and landslides. The one down there, as folks might remember, killed about 20 people. We have a history in Northern California of really bad mudslides that have killed people. There was a terrible one in the Santa Cruz Mountains at a place called Love Creek in 1982-83 that killed 10 or 11 people. So these can happen. Now, we're not to that level yet. The worst mudslide in the Bay Area this morning is one on a place called Hicks Road, which is down in South San Jose near Los Gatos in that area. You know, it's a couple of stories high, but there aren't any cars or homes in the way, and it's being dug out right now. But it's something that people need to keep an eye on as more storms come on top of already saturated soil.
Talking with Paul Rogers, he's here with us in studio, and he is managing editor for KQED Science, also is an environmental reporter for the Mercury News. What's the overall effect of this on the drought, Paul?
Well, as we remember, I'm sure very clearly, from 2012 to 2017, spring of 2017, we had the worst drought in California's recorded history since statehood in 1850. That drought ended with a bunch of these big atmospheric river storms in the winter of 2017. Jerry Brown called an official end to the drought. Then 2018 was kind of a mediocre year. The snowpack at the end of the year was about two-thirds of normal. And people were starting to worry that if we, you know, reservoirs were starting to go down, people were starting to worry that if we had a dry winter this year, we might go back into a drought. But this is one of the better years that we've seen in at least a decade. And remember, we've still got the whole month of March with rain and snow. So, you know, there is no drought this year. What we're worried about now is the tipping point where we're getting too much rain, too much snow, and potential flooding in the weeks and months ahead.
Well, if you have questions about the weather that is upon us, or if you would like to bring your voice into this discussion, we certainly welcome your involvement in the program. It's interactive, and you can join us now at our toll-free number. Everybody likes to talk about the weather, whether it's good or bad, and so flood us with your calls. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786, and you can join us now. We welcome your calls, 866-733-6786. You can also, of course, email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. I had mentioned in the introduction that there's this new, well, this is a real, kind of real-time test for it, this new categorization system for atmospheric rivers. What can we learn, and what are we about to learn?
Yeah.
And what is the categorization system?
It's kind of fascinating. This is similar to hurricanes. As people may know, you know, we're not East Coasters or Florida residents, but we kind of vaguely know in California there's a system of 1 to 5 for hurricanes that gives people an idea of how strong they are. We haven't really had such a thing for these atmospheric river storms, and they can do real serious damage, as I mentioned, flooding and mudslides, things like that. So scientists at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography down in San Diego, working with other scientists from around the country, have devised a system. They just published a paper last week ranking these atmospheric river storms 1 to 5. And the criteria they use basically is two things. How much moisture is in the storm? And second, how long does it linger over land? This storm that's hitting California right now, they say, is a 3 or a 4. So 1 and 2 are considered great, the kind that fill up the reservoirs. 5 is considered sort of batten down the hatches, you know, get ready for big time flooding. We're not there, but we're in that middle area, you know, where we're seeing places like the Russian River in Guerneville reach dangerous levels. And there's going to be flooding. There's going to be people getting stuck in cars. There's going to be houses with damage. And, you know, What we don't need is another series of storms next week on top of this. It doesn't look like that, but we need a little bit of a break, at least Friday, for some of these rivers to go down, because in the North Bay, they're getting to be at levels that are of serious concern.
But this has been, this Pineapple Express has been in the computer models for quite some time now, actually for over a week. And we've, I mean, Caltrans closed a section of Highway 1 south of Big Sur. There's been preparation. In your judgment, enough preparation?
Yeah, you know, the weather models are fascinating. They run these different computer simulations. And they do them, you know, 2 weeks ahead of time, but you can't even see the storms yet. The storms haven't even formed. So, you know, we think of when we turn on the TV news and we watch the weather person at night and they show us a satellite image of a storm. Usually those are about 3 or 4 days away, way out in the Pacific. But the National Weather Service and scientists who study the atmospheric conditions are looking at models a week, 10 days, 2 weeks out. Now, those are based on things like what are the conditions right now in terms of temperature and, you know, atmospheric pressure and wind and many other variables. And they plug them into these giant supercomputers and they look at what the likelihood is of certain things happening. Now, there's a lot we still don't know and a lot changes. So the further out you get, the less reliable these are. So what was happening last week, last Friday, was we knew that one of these atmospheric rivers was shaping up. The conditions were improving. We didn't know exactly where it was going to hit or how strong it would be. And then as it got closer on Monday and Tuesday, the National Weather Service started warning people and saying, hey, you know, flash flood watch, things like that. So I think they're doing the best they can with the technology we have. It's improving a lot. In fact, a new satellite that the government runs just went live yesterday to give the whole West Coast much more clearly defined images of storms as they develop.
We're talking with Paul Rogers, and we're also going to talk about Governor Newsom changing the status of the Delta Tunnel with Paul. But let me go to our calls, and let's go right to a first caller here, and that's you, Emily. You're on. Morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. I just wanted to say I am a Lyft driver. I am in San Jose, and I am loving the rain. We are getting a lot more business this morning. So no complaints from me. All I got to do is just take it a little slower in the driving to be safe. But otherwise, I love it.
Good to hear from you. Drive carefully. And actually, the rain is welcome, particularly because of all the fire we've been through. Although, as we said, the floods are here as well, and flash flooding is really of concern. The winds are of concern, too, aren't they, Paul?
Yes, they are. There is a high wind warning that the National Weather Service has in effect through Thursday morning, tomorrow morning. We've already seen winds just overnight. Last night hit 75 miles an hour at Mount St. Helena. 50 miles an hour on Mount Tam. So there's some pretty good gusts up there at the higher elevations, kind of 30 to 40 down lower.
More of your calls. Let me go next to you. Dan, join us. Welcome.
Good morning. I used to live in Seattle, and there is a UW professor who runs a weather blog. It's called Cliff Mass's Weather Blog. It was wonderful. I was wondering if your guest knows of that blog, because there doesn't appear to be anything quite like it for the Bay Area. He had, whenever there was a storm, he explained it and had hourly updates with easy to understand maps, because some of those weather maps for me are hard to read. So that's my question, is there any really, really good Bay Area weather blog or source that I could use to track this stuff? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Dan. Paul Rogers?
Well, apart from KQED and the Mercury News, I would recommend a couple other places. First of all, there's a guy named Daniel Swain, S-W-A-I-N. He is a former...
he's been on Forum. He's very good.
He is good. He's an atmospheric scientist who used to be at Stanford. He's now down at UCLA. He has a blog called Weather West. So Google that, Weather West, Daniel Swain. He really gets into the particulars of these big events. Also, if you Google NWS for National Weather Service, Bay Area, NWS Bay Area. I'm sorry, let me back that up. NWS Monterey. NWS Monterey is where the National Weather Service office for the Bay Area is. You will see the National Weather Service page for the Bay Area. There's a drop-down menu about halfway down the page. If you click on that, it's updated every few minutes, and they will have something several times a day called Area Forecast Discussion. That's what you want to click on. It's plain English describing what time things are going to happen, where they're going to happen, those kind of things. Also, I'd recommend on Twitter, following the National Weather Service Bay Area office on Twitter, National Weather Service Sacramento, National Weather Service Reno, National Weather Service LA, and also Daniel Swain on Twitter.
In fact, Amanda Stupai, our engagement producer, is going to put up Swain's blog on our website. So it's there available for you, our listeners, and available. Another call. Marie, join us. You're on the air.
Hi. We had discussed vacillating between damaging floods and damaging drought, and I was wondering if our system is just too fragile for the real weather or if weather has become more extreme. Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
You know, it's a great question and a very complicated question. As the climate continues to warm, there have been scientific studies published that show these atmospheric rivers will get stronger because there's going to be a warmer world means more water vapor. But there are also questions about how the jet stream moves, and when you have melting ice in the polar regions, what that does to the jet stream. It gets very complicated. We haven't seen an increase in overall rainfall over the last century since climate change began. What we have seen is droughts being more severe, forest fires being more severe. So some of this is still kind of up in the air. And remember, we have always had major flood events. I mean, some of the worst ones in California history, as longtime residents will remember, 1997, 98, 1982, 83, 1964, 1955. There are famous events, and we've tried to build flood works and levees and weirs and dams all over the place. But sometimes Mother Nature just overwhelms us. And, you know, there's even a scenario that scientists have looked at called an arc storm, which is an atmospheric river, a 1-in-1,000-year event that could hit California. Obviously, the chances are quite low in any year. That would be 10 days of rain. The Central Valley levees would break. You'd have an inland sea for 300 miles, 20 feet deep. Hurricane force winds, 125 mile an hour winds, massive landslides, loss of power, water, sewer for weeks or even months. And some scientists call this the other big one. We think about that in context of giant earthquakes, but these atmospheric river storms have the potential to do immense damage. And the only one we've ever seen in modern recorded California history was 1862, when the floods were so bad in California that new governor Leland Stanford had to take a rowboat through the streets of Sacramento to his inaugural.
Let me read a comment from, well, it's actually a question from Ellen, who says, typically, how broad are the atmospheric rivers? Is today's weather in SoCal connected to the same atmospheric river carry the Bay Area storms?
Basically, yes.
Yeah. And another listener writes, driving into the city from the peninsula this morning, the bay looked very high and choppy. Any chance it could overflow onto the highway?
It depends on the timing of the tides and the winds. I haven't heard predictions of major flooding. We have had flooding in the past, excuse me, in places like Alviso in South San Jose. But right now, the main concern is on these smaller rivers. Smaller creeks, mostly in the North Bay. You know, places like Santa Rosa, Petaluma, places like that. However, back to one of the other questions, as the climate continues to warm, we'll see the overall bay level rise. San Francisco Bay has already risen 8 inches in the last century. Doesn't sound like a lot, but when you have a high tide, an incoming tide, a big storm, that can be enough to put it over flood walls. And so Bay Area voters have been passing measures to expand wetlands and to do other things, like San Francisco voters just passed funding to shore up the seawall on the Embarcadero, which is really important going forward.
A lot of people asking about the reservoirs, and it just so happens in the last few weeks, over the 3 weeks up to yesterday, from January 1st, about 580 billion gallons. And so all the reservoirs are really in pretty good shape. They're up to speed, or they're even over what they're.
Things are looking really good. Most big reservoirs right now are above their historic average for right now. So Shasta Lake, which is the largest in the state up near Redding, has come up 10 feet in the past 10 days. 10 feet. Doesn't sound like that much. Shasta Lake is 35 miles long. So think of 35 miles, coming up 10 feet. That reservoir is now about 70% full, and lots of water, even when it stops raining, continues to pour into these reservoirs, right? Because the soil's saturated, the creeks are running big. Folsom Reservoir is 119% of its historic average. San Luis Reservoir down near Los Banos and Gilroy, 110% of its average. We've got plenty of water for this summer.
Well, here's a question about reservoirs from David. David, join us. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. It seems to me that a lot of this water is wasted in this kind of boom and bust storm system. So are you aware of any plans to increase the number of reservoirs? Not just the big ones, but the smaller ones to capture a lot of this extra water?
Yes. California voters passed a ballot measure. I'm probably going to get the date wrong, but I believe it was November of 2014. Remember, during our drought, it was about, I think, a $7 billion, something like that range, water bond. That had $2.7 billion in it for new storage. And the Brown administration doled that money out about a year ago. The money is going toward projects like raising the height of Los Vaqueros Reservoir in eastern Contra Costa County, which is one of the largest reservoirs in the Bay Area. It's an off-stream reservoir. There's also $500 million in there to go toward construction of a new $1 billion reservoir at Pacheco Pass in south Santa Clara County. There's other proposals the Trump administration has to raise the height of Shasta Dam by 18 feet, which would cost $1 billion. Anytime you start talking about dams on rivers, though, you get into all sorts of battles over endangered fish and salmon and flooding wildlife areas, that kind of thing. The future, I think, for storage in California is raising the height of existing off-stream reservoirs, building new off-stream reservoirs, and doing more groundwater storage where we put water in the ground and store it in wet years.
A couple important questions. I hope we can get to both of them. Jesse writes, the underground aquifers in California were heavily pumped during a drought. How much will the winter's precipitation bring the aquifers levels back to normal, if at all or ever?
Depends where you are. There's more than 500 groundwater basins in California. Some of them are managed really well. And places like Santa Clara County, they have these groundwater recharge ponds so that when it rains, the ponds fill up and the water slowly percolates into the ground. Basically, it brings the water table back up. The water table under San Jose, which provides, by the way, 50% of the drinking water for Silicon Valley, that fell 60 feet during the 5-year drought. That is entirely recovered now, just from a couple of years of rain. Central Valley still in big trouble, though. They're way down on their.
We've got seconds left here, Paul, but I want to ask you about. Didn't even get to the Delta Tunnel. I'm sorry about that, but the snow having a positive impact on the pine bark beetle epidemic that's been devastating the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I think so. We still have a lot of dead trees across California, so there's fire risk in the summer. But, you know, for now, the more water we get, the less fire risk in the year statistically.
Well, we'll save Delta Tunnel discussion for another day. Paul Rogers, always good to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Paul Rogers, managing editor of KQED Science and Environment, reporter for the Mercury News. We're going to talk next about hummingbirds. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Krasny.